are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
So some are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrust upon them, or some version of that in French, because that is where our story takes place today.
Yes, during the Nazi occupation of France.
Well, slightly before it, yes.
Yes, a little bit before, then during it, I guess, so around, yeah.
Because as we all know, if you want an Oscar, you do something World War II. Inspiring.
Right. Very true. So I'm Paloma Bennett, and this is
Mindy Rast-Keenan,
and we were reviewing Resistance.
Yes, it is. Hold on, I didn't prepare and bring up the wiki.
Resistance, which is directed by, let's see, Jonathan Jacobux. I apologize for mispronouncing your name. It's based on the life of Marcel Marceau, who's a for those who do not know, a very famous French mime.
Yeah. Well, he's not just a famous French mime. He is the French mime. He is pretty much the name in mime that, like, even actors who don't do clowning like me know the name Marcel Marceau. But specifically, this focuses on the chunk of his life that was set during World War II when he decided to join the French Resistance. Let's see, who wants to go through the actual plot of this movie other than it's about his life in the French Resistance, the end?
I'll do my best to do a little summary.
Okay,
but I won't
go
do
ahead.
Too much though. I don't want to review too, I mean, I guess it's history, but still I'll be real careful.
Right.
So it starts off as Marcel Marceau living in a small French village. Let's see if I can see where he's from. Okay.
At this time, his
village.
Name is Marco. He doesn't take on... Marcel Marceau is an actual name that he takes
yes.
on later on.
I apologize. Yeah, his name is Marco.
How
his name
dare
is,
you?
His name is Marco, and he's working kind of as... He kind of does... He works, you know, in his theater work, his one-man shows, but his father's very down on him. His father is the town butcher and thinks his son should be a butcher as well, and his brother, who seems to be part of some kind of... Already part of some kind of resistance or some kind of military... is also very down on him, but a girl he has a crush on, whose name is Emma, brings him into a kind of a situation where there's a bunch of young children whose parents were killed by the Nazis, and they were able to get them into this little small town to keep them safe. And he kind of was brought in as the entertainment, as a kind of a clown, not a mime
yes.
yet, but as a
At
clown.
At this point, Marcel Marceau is a Jewish man. Well, was. He passed away in the early 2000s. And at this point, he's starting out trying to develop his career as a clown, but still hasn't quite gotten it yet. And
yes.
everyone thinks that he's this selfish guy. He only cares about performing, that he should do something
useful with his life.
Yeah, he should make something of his life without this flighty expectations of being an actor. And then, as you said, these children come in whose parents have been murdered by Nazis, and they're... At this point, France has not been occupied by the Germans.
No, they're still safer, and the father himself even doesn't think it's possible that they could come in to take
yeah.
over.
Yeah, and so despite people thinking that Marco at this point is a very selfish performer, he comes in to, you know, take care of the kids, be the entertainment, and starts this rapport with the kids and starts to develop this form of silent clowning. And the kids love it. And also, while he's doing it, he's trying to teach them what to do if they're being caught by the Nazis. And still
yes.
using this form of performance style in order to teach them without scaring them.
Yeah, it's also one of my favorite scenes of the whole film is when he kind of dresses up as like a Nazi officer, but he kind of is in this very clownish way, and makes the kids laugh, but still is teaching them how to hide properly, and even demonstrated it himself. I thought that was really cool.
Oh yeah. It's like he has a Charlie Chaplin mustache, and Hitler based his mustache off of Charlie Chaplin, so...
Really?
Yes.
I thought that was just like a coincidence. Oh, wow.
Nope. That he loved Charlie Chaplin, and so he wanted to look like Charlie Chaplin, was ironic because Charlie Chaplin then made The Great Dictator to completely go, I hate you. But that's a whole other thing.
Yes, we'll leave that for another talk.
Right. But once it becomes clear that the Nazis are going to take over France, these kids are moved to kind of an underground bunker that gets smaller and smaller as more and more France is conquered. And during this time, Marcel Marceau takes his name, and he and his brother join the French Resistance. And this is the core of the movie, is the how is he going to be a part of the French Resistance and what the French Resistance are doing in order to save these children. And that culminates into getting them over to Switzerland that is neutral.
There's a whole debate between if they should stay or if they should go. And also during the time when they're in the resistance, they start trying to hide the kids in different, like, orphanages and different kind of households.
And churches and that sort of thing, which happened. And, you know, all this while the Nazis are closing in, and specifically it is Matthias... How do you pronounce that last name? Schweighofer?
Let's see.
Krauss Barbie. He was a Gestapo agent that was situated in Lyon.
Lyon.
Yeah, he was set in Lyon, which was where Marcel was, and so the big antagonist is represented by Klaus Barbie, and not just the fact that he is a Nazi. In Lyon, he was a pretty brutal Nazi as well.
Yeah.
He was
actually the lion.
Yeah, he was known. The Butcher of Lyon, and he was known for his torture of the people that he captured. So you have this guy, is Marcel and the French Resistance, trying to outwit Klaus and the Nazis, and just how close it is, and how, you know, the boundary between winning and losing is very malleable between who has the upper hand among either side.
Yes, I totally agree, and I think there's a bit of a kind of mouse and kind of cat and mouse kind of game going on that kind of keeps suspense going, but also is, I think, very informative of how it was for the Jews and also the resistance as well.
That was one thing that I did appreciate, because a lot of the times, you know, obviously Nazis are the bad guys. They're always the bad guys. If you want to make somebody evil in your film, you make them a Nazi. But what I appreciated was you had Klaus Barbie, but it also introduced his wife and his new baby daughter. And there are bits where he's interacting with Marcel, where he's like, I want to get my daughter interested in the arts. How do I do that? And so it's like, I'm a big fan of humanizing the enemy, because people are people, and people do good things and they do horrible things. There's no such thing as a monster. Well, there, in very small instances, is there an actual monster. And so I really appreciated the fact that, yes, he is the Butcher of Lyon, but you have to understand this is a person who did these things and not somebody that you could never be.
Right. And so,
So I appreciated the humanization of the Nazis for that. Not to make them sympathetic, but the aspect of these were human beings and this was real. And that I deeply appreciated. And then they did the same thing with the resistance, in that, you know, there's scenes where it's like a couple of them are hooking up. You know, the fact that, you know, in the beginning he's playing with the little kids. It's like, this is also, in spite of the horrible world around them, they're still living. And there's actually a very beautiful scene that is a part of the trailer, too, where he's talking to one of the other resistance leaders, which is, they want to destroy us, and we don't we can't kill them. We can't kill all of them. We don't have the resources. So how do we win? We survive.
Yeah.
And it's like, that is a very powerful message. It's like, as long as one of us lives, they lose.
Yeah, I really love Marcel Mousseau and his kind of message about how resistance is necessary and fighting is necessary, but for him it's also about trying to survive and living your life, and that he fights in non-violent ways. And even when he does do violent stuff, it's in a very kind of, not roundabout way, but a very kind of unique and special way that doesn't involve guns or like that. So I think that he kind of is gives us a lesson of how you can help people live and how you can fight for freedom.
Right.
Fight against without being violent, with helping people.
Yeah.
And helping the children.
And one of the way this is expressed is because it starts out at a military meeting, because it's, if you look on Marcel Marceau's wiki, which I very much did after I watched the movie, his first big performance was in front of Allied troops, or in front of like 3,000 Allied troops.
Right.
So it sets up this commander talking about how does a civilian fight a war? And then at the end, it culminates into, here's a big old example of how civilians who don't have the training, who don't have the weapons, this is how they can do things to help. And that became the foundation of the movie. And it was such a powerful thing, because you realize, like, yeah, this was a dude who was an actor. He was developing mime, of all things. And he managed to save hundreds, if not thousands, of children from being brutally murdered by the Nazis. That is amazing. And it's told in a way that is so incredibly inspiring, in my humble opinion.
No, I agree too. I think what was really interesting, structure of the film, was the way they kind of did it was in kind of periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was in continuous action. So at first you have him at a certain, you know, before the Germans come in, right? And then you kind of, before the Nazis, you know, start their takeover and start kind of, you know, and then you have them kind of to the, you know, right as it's happening, and then you see him coming to Leon, Rochelle and his brother and Emma, and also I think Emma's sister as well. And so it's really interesting the way that you kind of see little pockets of time, which I think is kind of useful because this all happens through years and, 3 years and months, or, you know, months and years. And so it's useful seeing in different little pockets instead of seeing it continuously. I kind of like that because it makes so everything. So there's still like a united story, but at the same time, you can see how this passes of time.
Yeah,
and mark time.
And I didn't even realize that it was a biopic until the kids were taken away from their initial location, where it said like Marco and his family left their some stuff behind, thinking that they would be able to come back. And I was like, wait a minute, this is a biopic? Oh, wow. Because it is very much set up as a theatrical motion picture, and which made it really engaging. And as you said, there was one scene, though, which, as an intellectual, I appreciate they added, but at the same time kind of came out of nowhere. And it was one of the few times where it felt like Nazis be evil, yo.
Yeah.
It was when Klaus Barbie goes into a gay bar and he just starts ranting and raving and beats a guy up. And that's the scene. And as somebody who knows that, like, the Holocaust was more than just the Jewish people, it was the homosexuals, the disabled, the Russians, it's
the
just
gypsies.
The Jewish, the Romani, exactly. But it's, you know, the not only the Jews were victims of this thing. And so I appreciated the fact that they acknowledged that homosexuals were also a target. But at the same time, it's like, well, this was just kind of put in to be like, hey, gay people, we see you too, even though this doesn't really fit in with the storytelling, but hey. And so it's like I said, I appreciated they put it in as that acknowledgement, but I didn't think it meshed well with the storytelling.
No. It didn't really add to the story, other than showing he's a horrible human being, but you can kind of do that without that, because he's so
like he's a Nazi.
Later on. I mean, my point is, he's so, I mean, the scenes of him torturing people, so you don't really need that scene. to show how horrible he is, and also the fact is that it's true. I mean, it doesn't really mesh with the story, especially since we don't really see the concentration camps or see anything of that. So it, and also we don't see any gay people in resistance either, or at least not shown.
Yeah, it doesn't get acknowledged at any other point in the film. I mean, there are people that don't even have the pink triangles on. So it's like this one scene is a little globe in and of itself. So it's like I said, I appreciate the acknowledgement, but at the same time, they could have done a lot better to make it flow with the rest of the story.
No, yeah. I agree. I also wanted to talk about some of the performers that we see in the film.
Oh, absolutely. Briefly. Jesse Eisenberg was beautiful. He was beautiful as Marcel. He was vulnerable, and you could very much see his arc as, coming into the "I have to do what is right," and I can't just be frivolous. I do wish they had shown more of the development of his mime and more of the performance of his mime. Because one of the things about Marcel Marceau is that he developed mime as a way to keep the kids quiet while they were being hunted. So it's like his mime was integral to the way he saved the kids. And while it was used, it kind of felt like, it was used in a scene here and a scene there and wasn't telling the story of, I am deliberately doing this to calm the children. During a time of crisis. I wish they had done more with that. But otherwise, like, he was a beautiful performer. The arc of his storyline, I think he did crazy well.
I agree, too. And I think his, even though they didn't talk about, like, his development, I think his mind work was very believable, somebody who does that.
Oh, especially the first time when he's first connecting with the kids, that whole thing about blowing out the candle, that whole entire bit was really, really good mime work on his part. I just wish that the initial mime was, a lesser quality than, like, the full-on performance that you get to see at the end, which is performance with the Allied troops.
I also really loved Clemence Posse. So who plays Emma, who's a resistance fighter, and also his not his girlfriend, but the girl he has kind of a woman he has a crush on, who lives in the village with him, who helped the children as well, and a big part of the caretaking. She's the blonde.
Got it.
And I think she did really. I mean, I'm a big fan of her as an actress. I've seen her in a TV show. Called The Bridge, where she plays a French detective who's kind of autistic. Mm-hmm. And I thought she did a really good job in this one. And I think it was also cool because there are blonde Jews, but we don't really think of that when we think about a Jewish person. We think of them as looking a particular kind of way, so I thought that was very cool. And I'm not sure the actual person was that, or there is a woman named Emma, if they just made her an amalgamation of other characters. Like, sometimes they do that in other real people, in biopics. Well, but I think she did a really good job playing the character.
And with her, she had to go through some very extreme emotional changes. Yeah. So it's like there were the happy times and there was the horrifying, traumatic times that she had to express, and then the abject fear times. So it's like I think she had to go through the most emotional peaks. And she did it in a way that was believable. So that was encouraging as well.
Yeah. I think she played Penis Dean kind of trauma moments very well. Mm-hmm. And then she was also, as you said before, played kind of very happy and very kind of engaged very well. So I think that she had a very kind of very big emotional arc. I think maybe most of the characters in seeing kind of, because, is tortured by the Klaus Barbie kind of very, I guess not unique, but a very kind of non-direct way through her sister. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of see, his barbarous behavior, and we also see her kind of her resilience, but also the pain that she goes through.
Right. I'm trying to figure out, it's like, who of these names, I believe that...
Who's the brother? I've never remembered who the brother's name is.
The brother is, hold on, I believe it is... Edgar Ramirez? That's Sigmund, right?
Sigmund. Edgar Ramirez did a very... Oh, he's Venezuelan, interesting, but he did an amazing job. as well, playing the brother and playing this sort of... I mean, I think he kind of had a very kind of certain kind of role that he was playing, very kind of like, you know, machismo kind of trying to, you know, save everybody. But I think he did a really kind of amazing job being his... Marcel being Jason Eisenberg's kind of partner in this and having a really great chemistry as brothers.
Well, it's interesting in that his character is set up to be the hero.
Yes.
He is the noble, ting on his teeth, beautiful, if his hair were longer, it would be blowing in the breeze hero. And yet it flips the script in that it's actually his brother that ends up stepping up more. Not that
right.
he is bad at what he's doing, it's just that Marcel is able to get the upper hand on more occasions. And so it's interesting that here's a trope and we're going to subvert it.
Right, and because in a way, because Marcel has something unique to give that nobody else really has.
Right.
His brother is somebody that there's not to take away from, as you said, with what it's doing. There's thousands of people like him in the French Resistance, or at least hundreds of them, maybe. I don't know how big the French Resistance is, but my point is, there's many men like that who are doing similar things.
Right.
And let's see who else. And then I guess we talked a little bit about Mathias. I'm gonna butcher his name as well. Skosfarber. I'm not good with German, but he did a very good job as well. I think playing Klaus Barbie, playing, as you said, bringing his humanity out, but also being barbarous as well, of course.
Right. Yeah. It's one of the things. It was interesting because, like, after this movie was over, my husband is a big World War II buff, and so and he knew that Marceau was in the French Resistance. So we were there talking back and forth, and one of the things that these come up is like, you know, how do these people come to terms with themselves?
Right.
And, you know, it's like you're doing something horrifying that you're being told is right, and so how do you come to? And there's actually a scene with his wife where she's just. Cannot handle what is happening, but that he's like, you know, he's torturing a priest downstairs, and she realized that that's what's going on. And it's just like, do you really want that to be the foundation for your daughter growing up? And it poses that kind of question in a way that I don't think shoves it in your face and makes it uncomfortable, but in a way that's like, yeah, how do you come to terms with this kind of thing? Because, again, everybody is human, and you can either do good or do evil with it.
And especially since it seems like he is a Christian, or at least his wife is.
Yes.
And
I mean, she was disturbed with him torturing a priest in particular, so she was definitely Catholic.
Yeah. So it seems very fascinating to me is how you kind of separate your faith from what you're doing.
Right.
Like, it's very fascinating as well.
Right.
And the fact is that if you are Catholic, or if you, you know, believe in the, you know, in any kind of Christian faith, or any kind of faith really in general, then how are you able to kind of hurt somebody who's supposed to be the representation of that faith?
Right.
But I also think she's kind of a good way of also humanizing him, because she's his conscience. Or at least it's presented as that in the film.
Right, although she doesn't really get to do a lot. That yeah. scene that I mentioned is really her only big scene, other than being the mom of his kid.
Yes.
So it would have been interesting, as engaging as Klaus Barbie is in this film, it does feel like he is somewhat underutilized. You know, he's there being the Nazi, but not necessarily being Klaus Barbie the Nazi, as much as it might have been. But at the same time, Jesse Eisenberg was so engaging as Marceau, I didn't mind that so much.
No, and also I don't think... I think he was supposed to just be the quote-unquote very traditional villain. Like, I mean, I don't know how he's even explored what actual Klaus Barbie did. I'm sure there was some of that was what he did, was, you know, break people's, you know, take the skin off and stuff. Like, I mean, horrible stuff, torturous stuff. But I think it was more about him just being the kind of backdrop.
Right.
And the purpose of his role, at least, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, since it was set in Lyon, he's the Butcher of Lyon, of course, that's going to be the name that you put as the villain.
Right, because it's somebody that people know and people can do, or not know, but people can do research on, and somebody who's a well-known historical figure.
Right, and at the end, they do say what happened to many of the characters, including him.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have to remember, what did they say happened to him? Because I'm sorry, I watched it a little bit a while ago. I'm trying to remember what they said happened to him.
Well, I looked him up on Wiki, and they did leave some stuff out. But essentially, he was hunted down by Nazi hunters after the war, was caught, and he ended up dying in prison.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. No, he fled to Bolivia, it says, yeah. A lot of Nazis tried to escape to South America.
And he did end up being in South America for a while and working with the CIA and a whole bunch of other things that are not so good. But eventually he was caught, brought to trial, and ended up dying in prison.
Yeah. I did like that. I always like when biopics or kind of, you know, historical movies are... have some kind of reference to what happens afterwards. I think that's
right.
Very important.
Because if the movie did its job right, you care about these people and the fact that they are real. You want to know. You want to read their wikis afterwards to find out who they were and what they did and how they ended up. So, and I know that I absolutely did for this one.
Yeah. No. I right after I watched the film, I looked up Marcel Mousseau to get some more information, because I had heard of him in passing and knew who he was, but hadn't really read too much about him.
So, yeah, so you want to get on to final thoughts?
Yep, I'll do some final thoughts. Do you want to go first, or should I go first?
You go ahead.
Okay, I have to say I really enjoyed Resistance. I was kind of curious, I didn't really know it was about Marcel Mousseau when I first started, but, After getting the end, I figured it out, and I was very, you know, it was like, oh, wow, that's amazing that he had this whole life, and, you know, of course, made me want to look it up. And I think that it was a really cool story as Minnie talked about, how you can resist something by living, and by, you know, helping people survive, and by surviving yourself. So I thought it was cool to see kind of a new way of resisting, and kind of, at least for him, a kind of refusal to do the violent kind of resistance and being really fully part of the resistance and kind of leaving it early on. I think it was shot beautifully as well, and I think everybody did a really good job acting-wise. So I think I would probably give it a 8.5 out of 10. 8.5 out of 10 Chaplin mustaches.
Like I said, I also very much enjoyed this film. It sets up, I didn't know anything about it before I started watching it. It wasn't until partway in that I realized it was a biopic. And as it went on, it's like I started to care more and more about these people. And I actually missed that it was Marcel Mousseau until the end, because there was a moment, it went by very fast, even though that moment is actually in the trailer. So once it was revealed at the end that this was Marcel Mousseau, I audibly let out an exclamation, because I'm an actor, and while I haven't done a lot of clowning, Marcel Mousseau is a name, and he is like the name in his field, and he is very... you know, well revered in it. And so to find out that he did these amazing things was mind blowing to me. And it reinforced one of the things that's like, again, as an actor, you know, anybody who's in art, there's so much negative backlash against artists a lot of the time. I mean, I remember in college my family joking about how I wasn't taking real classes, you know, and about how, you know, the first thing to go in schools is arts funding because it's seen as not important. And that hurts me because I think of art as such an important thing. It both documents our humanity and has the power to change it. So to find out that here was an artist who, first of all, culminated his art while the world was in crisis, as a way to fight back against that world that was evil, really. And then on top of that, just to know that he as a person was able to do such good things with it, that, I mean, I'm tearing up now thinking about it. And it just kind of reinforcing the power of the artist and also the power of the person. Because I know I'm not the only one that feels overwhelmed by the world right now. And to know, to have a story to be like, yes, you the little guy that doesn't think they have any power, you do. You may not realize it, but you do, and you can do amazing things with it. Here's an example.
Yeah, and it shows you, yeah.
That was just utterly beautiful to me. What did you want to add to that?
Oh, sorry. I was going to say it shows you how art is important and how art is vital, not just because it enriches our lives, but because it actually does help save people. Maybe not as quite as literally as he did, but still, it can help, you know, bring something, a smile to somebody's face, or help people kind of snap by themselves for a moment.
Right.
And so I think it really kind of celebrates how important art is in a crisis and how we need to keep on investing in it.
Absolutely. Like I said, there were parts of the film that felt disjointed. Like I said, that scene at the gay bar was a big example of that. But there weren't that many. And the acting pretty much was solid all around. It set up the horrifying world of World War II without it being a caricature. And it painted this picture of this man that I gained such a newfound respect for. So I'm going to give it 9 Nazis trapped in an invisible box out of 10.
Perfect.
Because fuck those Nazis.
Exactly. I also wanted, before we go, I want to talk about another scene that you kind of touched on a minute before. That's okay.
How
one of the girls who kind of bonds with, and I'm, you know, gonna, you know, say I do not remember her name, but she, Mila, I think is her name.
Mila, yeah.
And she she's played by a Vika of Krakrux. Sorry, I apologize for saying your name, but and I think she was set kind of in a Catholic orphanage or Catholic church for a little bit, and she's taught how to sing some Christian songs. And she, when Klaus Barber and other Nazis come into conservancy trains, knowing about, you know, the resistance, and the kids trying to escape escape France, they sing a song to kind of fool them into thinking that they're a choir group going on a kind of a trip over the, you know, hiking over to I think Austria, or doing a hiking trail.
Well, yeah, they're going.
And I think it was so amazing how they were able to use song and joy to kind of trick these men into thinking that they have no fear of them, that they're this, you know, quote unquote French children, because they are French, but you know, not some of them are not French. Sorry, but anyways, they're French children just having a holiday.
And on top of that, having a guy just sitting on the train saying that they're fine kids, knowing that they are Jews trying to hide. So it's like that there are good people everywhere, and even the little things make a difference. And I think that is a message that we really need to hear right now.
I think we do. Right now, I think it's important. I think compassion and love and art is something that we all need right now. And hopefully this, if you know, when this film comes out, that, you know, that this could bring it to everybody who sees it.
Here's hoping.